Enoch took a stroll one day with the Master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home.
I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys.
I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is the one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. I'll help someone in time of need, and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick, the poor and weak, and the words of kindness to them speak. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deed that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Lies evening sun is sinking low, a few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And all life's frustration, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have,
dear Lord, is in you.
And all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Matthew 11:11.
I'll read you something here. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And what Jesus trying to say, that was anything that happened before the crucifixion of John the Baptist, he was the greatest of the great. He was the greatest, that's what he said. But the one that after the resurrection, the one that born again, the ones that saved, the ones that really truly born again, is the least in the kingdom, he is greater than John the Baptist ever thought of being. It's now a different, now there's a different thing taking place. If you're born again, and you're truly born again, you have all the qualifications. Like Jesus said when he, after the resurrection, in my name you will cast out devils, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You'll do all these things simply because you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And now you have all these qualifications to do exactly that. And I remember back, I know we never get taught of that, but back when I got saved in 1971, the Lord saved me. He came down, I went to bed, and about ten minutes after, the Lord came by my way, and he forgave me my sin. I repented and I accepted him. It was just a normal procedure to do. I let him in my life, and he's been there ever since. Of course, I haven't been doing everything right and everything I should be doing, but I was on this journey to where we are today. And I had all these qualifications, and my name go and cast out devils, and my name go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah, I didn't know that, but I had all these qualifications given to me the day you're born again. Like I said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Now that you've accepted the Lord, and he's leading you by his Spirit, and eventually led me to water baptism, and he led me water baptism in Jesus' name. And eventually, it didn't happen overnight. It took a 30, 40 year process when all this happened. But I'm trying to get to something. I'm trying to see if you're a Christian, let's say you're a Christian now, and you're born again, you have these qualifications that if your children get sick, yeah, sometimes you have to go to a doctor, but you can take and believe the Lord for what he's saying. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I remember when, back in the day, I told you time and time again, my daughter, she had this ear infection, and the first thing I did, my wife said, take her up to the doctor. Well, I went to the Lord with it. I knew the Lord could do something for her. And the Lord told me, go lay hands on her, and I will heal her. That's exactly what I did. I wanted to lay hands on her ear, and I could feel it going through her, and I knew she was instantly healed, right then and there, simply because I've been born again. I have that qualifications. Yeah, you don't use it all the time, and some people, they don't know that they have that attribute with them, but that's exactly what I did. Then my other girl, she came home, she lay limp, like she could breathe, but she was as good as dead. So I went to the Lord. Lord, what would you have for me to do? He said, just go down and lay hands on her. And I did. I laid hands on her. And a few minutes later, she was up having breakfast. She was only about a year old. And see, that's what you can do when you are born again. You can take charge. Let's say you got a husband and a wife, and they got children, you don't have to run to the doctor. Like as a last resort, you can. Like, I sometimes have to go to the doctor. Sometimes I prayed, I had this hernia, and I prayed, I think, for 5 years. I thought that hernia would disappear. But the day came when I realized I have to go to the doctor. And sometimes you have to, but sometimes the first thing you do, you go to the Lord, and you believe that he can, and then once you're born again. Now, I'm not talking about this born again thing where in a Hutterite colony, we're mostly talking to Hutterites. The Hutterite colony, you go through this rigmarole of a baptism, a buffoonic baptism. It's really what it is. It's a substitute for the real thing. This Hutterite baptism is a substitute for Acts 2:38. There's only one way to get baptized. I've said it over and over again. That's repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Then you will receive forgiveness of the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. But now, that water baptism era is over. Now, the only thing you have to do to meet the qualifications to do exactly what was under that water baptism thing under the grace age, the simple thing you now have to do is just believe the message for your day, because it says so in the Bible. Now that's all you need to do. That's all you ever had to do, is to believe the message for your day. It's always been that way. And now you see it.
Well, that's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. When Jesus went over the parables, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto a sower that went forth to sow. And then it goes on right down to the church of Laodicea. That's when the kingdom of heaven was likened unto a net.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people that fell under the ministry of Brother Branham, they had eternal life. Those that were believers. We know that Brother Branham, he attracted three kind of believers. He always said, make believers, and there are lots of make believers. Now, mm-hmm. You were talking here about healing. Like, make believers will not,
they will not be able to heal.
They wouldn't have that Holy Ghost to be able to heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the unbeliever, and then there's the believer.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the people that Brother Branham attracted with his healing ministry. And then when that healing ministry dwindled down, all these make-believers and these unbelievers, they went back to their cages, which is their denominational systems. Mm-hmm. And then the believers, they continued on. And then that ministry turned into the scribe, where he takes out of his storehouse both things old and new. So there was revelation restored, and he restored new things. So he took out of the storehouse and both old and new.
That's the ministry of Brother Jackson.
It started with Brother Branham and continued with Brother Jackson. Because, Brother Branham brought out a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the storehouse. Oh, yeah. So it's basically a ministry. And it fell into those two men's ministry to bring out of the storehouse things that are old and new. And then when we know that there's a lot of people that lost faith in Brother Jackson, because when he did the countdown, he calculated the days of the crew from the crucifixion to 2,000 years of the grace age. And he calculated those years, and he came to 2004 and a half. And he said, if the Roman calendar is right. Now, there were a lot of carnal people in the midst that they thought, well, I have enough money. I can retire. I don't need to go to work. So this is not what Brother Jackson had in mind for people to do that. He was just trying to find a guideline of where we are at in time. And that's what he was doing, because he said, if the Roman calendar is right, because he knew that system will have power to change times and seasons. And that's what they did. Like, the Roman Catholic Church had power to, like, Constantine with Christmas, put Christmas over there, and December 25 is Christmas, the day of Jesus' birth. The New Year is January the 1st. They had the power to do that. And they also had powers to change times. Like, the calendar has been messed with a couple of times already. So the years are not really, we are in 2025 this year.
Well, we know exactly. We're about 2012.
With the midnight cry, we know, yes.
And we know exactly the calendar's out. Exactly. Mm-hmm. 17 years.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to say here, is carnal man will always take something out and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never really use common sense and say, you know what, I'm not gonna stop working. If the Lord wants me to work until He comes, then I'll work. But that's just a cop out. And then people started blaming Brother Jackson because he said that. Well, it wasn't Brother Jackson's fault that he said that. It was people's faults that were using it as an easy way out. And see, these things that we're saying are not things for you to go take an easy way out and say, you know what, Lord's going to come this year and I'm just going to stop doing whatever I'm doing and just sit and wait.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never anybody's intention. When we let you know the day and the hour we're living in, and a message for your day to tell you that we're in the season of the rapture, we'll just continue on as we did before.
Mm-hmm.
We just make sure that we're ready and prepared.
What we're trying to say here, like what we're saying, is our works are life and their spirit, their truth, what we're saying here. Not too many people will like what we're saying, but we know it's the truth because we are connected. You can take... go back and listen to our messages and the conversation. We're connected to the seven star that Jesus held in His right hand, that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And we walk through the grace age. All these angels that Jesus sent that he's going to send throughout the crazy. We're interconnected with him. And you can't do Aletheia, and we're interconnected with Brother Brenham. The Lord, it's just the way the Lord dealt with our lives. Once he saved us back in 71, then he gave us the Holy Ghost, and he led us on. Like I say, of course I backslid. Of course I wasn't the way I should have been. But throughout it all is exactly what that song said. He keeps leading us on, and he'll never forsake us. And then we come into this age of we're here now. The Brother Brenham comes on the scene, and then he goes off the scene, and it continues. We're definitely exactly following the scripture where it says, "And the days of the Lord when he shall begin to sound." We said it over and over again, and then we interconnect with the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then when he goes off the scene, we're all being tested. Then we interconnected with that test that he gave us. And now here he's given you and I the responsibility to continue on and finish that work that was started back with these seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And now we are at the tail end, at the very end of it. And the things that we're saying, they are life and they are spirit. They're the truth. And for this hour that we're now living in, of course we maybe sometimes say something that's not true, but you can take it back to the scriptures to see if these things not be so, and you'll find them to be exactly so. That's what I've been seeing all night, that the words that we speak, they are life and they are spirit. Now don't get it mixed up with that putter, I think, that, and these cults out there think that when you're baptized into their system, that you have the power to do all that. It's just a system. It's just a cult. And I'm trying to be as gentle on it as I know to be. It's a carbon copy. It's not real. When you get baptized in that water, I think it's got nothing to do with born again. You just become a subject of that Hutterite colony. That's it. The Satan is the head of it. It's not of God. It's a substitute. The Gemeinschaft that they have, they're not even born again. It's just a substitute. The devil does that. When God does something, Satan is right there to infiltrate it, to pervert it, and use it as a substitute to divert people away from the real thing. And that's what he would try to like to get in here too. He's tried it time and time again. Try to come in here to destroy this thing that the Lord set this thing up, because back in the day, prior to 2004, I didn't even know he existed. But that, as we got together and started talking, and we realized we got the same ambition in life, we see the same thing. And as time goes on, he told me to pick you up and go trucking with you. It's just something that the Lord put together, and to this day, back then we didn't know what it will evolve into, but here we are, here in this closing days of time. The Lord said, without you there's no program, and like I say, ever since the Lord put this together, everybody thought they have doing God a service trying to divide us, but to this day they haven't succeeded. My brother came here when I sold my house, and I rented a room from you. He come here all worked out. Why did you go get an apartment across the street there? And their mind goes right, like we keep saying over and over again. The natural man, his mind goes straight to the gutter, and he thinks naturally. They don't stop and think spiritually, that maybe this just could be a spiritual thing. And that they think naturally. What are you doing living with a woman? That what I'm trying to say is, God has set it up. God has moved in our life to do the very thing that we're doing today. And now the words that we speak, they are life and they are spirit. And you just have to believe it. Like we're saying, the grace age is over. We're in the week of Daniel. We're in the era, the time frame, the restoring of all things. And as time goes on, you're going to see a rapture. We're in that season now of the rapture, because we're right now here where we're just waiting for that Pope, for that man of sin to be revealed. And all these things are moving at the pace that God has chosen it to go. It's not going to go the way I think. It's going to go the way the scriptures say. Like I say, we're in the week of Daniel. The calendar is out exactly 17 years. If you take 2025,
take away 17. So you're 2008.
Right now we're actually, the true calendar should be 2008 if the Roman Catholic, if the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church would not have messed with the dates, mm-hmm. like the Bible says. He left China, he'll be given the power to change that mm-hmm. calendar. So we're now 2008, the true 2008.
And then, like when Brother Branham, he, when he saw those moons, and the church ages, from Ephesus to Laodicea, he used the gifts of the Spirit were in these men's ministry, like in the ministry of Paul, the gift of the Spirit were in his ministry. And then Irenaeus, the gifts of the Spirit were in his ministry. And you go through each of these church messages, when you come to John Wesley, he healed a lot of people. Like he rode all across England on horseback and healed the sick and prayed for them. See, that was a church age messenger. That was part of the star, that one of the stars that Jesus held in his right hand. That ministry that was with that angel and then going to John Wesley. Mm-hmm. And the same way with Brother Branham, he carried on and in a ministry that had the gifts of the Spirit. There was a lot of healing and dreams and visions and tongues. And these gifts were poured out in these ministries. And the reason being is when you read John 15, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. See, Jesus was standing in the midst of those seven churches. And in his right hand, he had those seven stars. Those are the seven angels that will relay a message to a vessel on earth to let the people know the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the gaze, for their hour. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. But they had to be connected to the vine, just like it says in John 15. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So the only reason your words can be spirit and life is when you're connected to the vine.
Yeah.
And to those seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. That is part of the what God has. And when you're part of that vine, then you will be able to like have the gifts of the Spirit in your life, and yes, you can heal people, because that is part of being in part of the vine.
Mm-hmm. You know, we see statements that people make, and it just lets me know they're not part of the vine, because you can tell the statements they make, and like I say, the proof is in the pudding. If your children are sick, or you know anybody that's sick, you can actually go over there, you're truly born again, and you're part of this nucleus of people that believe the message for your day. You can lay hands on that sick person, whether it's cancer, whether it's one of your children, it doesn't really matter. As long as you have that born again and you believe the message for your day, you have the same qualifications that Jesus said, in my name go, like the early disciples. They went and they healed the sick and they did whatever needed to be done in the hour that they were living in. And you can do the very same thing here in this hour, because we're just continuing on. It never stops. We're in that stream. I know of a stream. And we're just continuing part of it. That's why I say the words that we speak, their life and their spirit. I know it's not a very popular message, the things that we say, but it's the truth. Where else are you going to find anybody that'll tell you the things that we're telling you? You won't find it, because they will not be able to, because they have to say things that'll tickle their ear. They have to say things that'll attract the multitudes, you know?
That's right.
We're not attracting too many multitudes.
And that's the whole concept of it, because this world has been accustomed to so many lies, saying that December 25 is the day where Jesus was born. That's a lie. Saying that January 1st is New Year, that's a lie. See, the whole world is engulfed in lies, like the Trinity baptism is a lie. It comes from the devil. See, that these are all part of a lie. And the more lies you accumulate, the darker your life becomes.
Because the harder it is for us to penetrate.
That's right. And that's why people cannot accept and grab a hold of the truth, because the truth is what people are scared of. Because the minute they start accepting the truth, they have to do something about it. And that's what people don't want to do, because it creates an accountability now. You're accountable and a responsibility, and that's where people find it hard to break away from their comfort zones.
It all boils down to one thing. If you're not willing to lose your life for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, you'll always have a problem. But the key is, you've got to be willing to lose it all so that you can win eternal life. It's just, for you and I, it's so simple, because we have walked through that thing, the way the Lord has dealt with us in the past. There came a day when I had to give up everything. I had to lose it all. I had to lose my life. And then once you come to that place, there's nothing more that you can do. You lost it all, like I keep saying. Well, I got nothing to lose because I lost everything already. So you just say the truth, tell people the truth. I know they're going to hate us for it, and they got for their own opinion when they can't. When they can't find out the honor, they say, oh, we're not checking up. Or like they said to Jesus, we be not born out of fornication. They thought Jesus was born out of wedlock. But that they threw it right in his face, because they were thinking carnally.
Well, they were thinking carnally. And plus, you know, a lie is, for some people, easier to accept than the truth. Then to say that Jesus was born out of wedlock, you just go down your merry old road. But once you say that Jesus is the Son of God, truly He is the Son of God, now that requires you to do something about it, and then you're going to lose your life for His sake and the gospel. And that's where the people stop, because they cannot enter in.
And like I said, as it was in the days of Noah, we're not looking for multitudes. We're not looking for no red carpet. Because when you go back, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be even in his time, there's not too many. Noah didn't have a very attractive message for their Noah. And there was, as it was in the days of Lot, and here again, it's the same thing. You're not going to have the multitude flocking and lining up to hear you. In fact, it's the opposite. They'll do whatever they can to not hear you. You're looking for every excuse. Yeah, sometimes the Lord might cause us to say something that's not quite so. But it's up to each and every individual to go back to the Word of God to see if these things be so. See if you're not going to read it exactly what you're saying about the seven stars. There were seven angels. It goes on to explain. These are the seven angels that Jesus is going to send throughout the grace age to minister to the people for 2,000 years. And anybody else that's not interconnected with that stream, with these seven stars, they're going to deceive you. The Hagees and the Olsteins, these are just weapons, Satan's weaponry of mad deception. That's the only thing they can do if they're not part of the seven star. And like you said, if they're not part of the vine, and then the Lord, what he'll do, he'll, you know, part of that vine, he'll take and cut you off and bind you in these bundles, like it talks about, the binding of the bundles and things of that nature.
And there, like when you go to when Moses was standing before Pharaoh, and these scorchers were able to
copy
some of the things that Moses was doing. Now, the devil can give a person power too, and that's where you saw it. But they could not stop the frogs, or there are certain things that they.
I think it came to the lies. They couldn't make lies, and they couldn't make life.
So they just, there's a certain aspect that these people can actually do, And I've a lot of these preachers in the pulpit that you see now, when you will read in the church age, I believe it's Thyatira, where they went after the doctrine of Balaam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of these preachers that you see now with these mega churches, they have gone after the doctrine of Balaam. They have gone a direction Balaam was hired by Balak to put a curse on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have powers too. And I'm not going to say they don't have any powers, but they get it from the wrong source.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have sold out to make a name for themselves, just like Balaam did, and for wealth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not led by the Spirit of God. They are not part of the vine. They are not part of those seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And there is a difference in these things out there. They have certain powers too, but they don't use it. I always find when a person is disobedient, a witchcraft comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to do things too.
Yeah, well, we'll just carry on from where the Lord has led us and guided us. He's given us the revelation of where we are in time. We know we're in the week of Daniel. You won't hear that nowhere. Go tap it. Go check out my YouTube and you'll find nobody will tell you that we're in the week of Daniel. They won't tell you about the invitation of the marriage supper of the dead. That invitation is only on for 3.5 years. And then, like we said yesterday, then something else clicks in. God is always moving on. He's always evolving, and he's never stopped. He's just right from back when he had that great council back in Ephesians chapter 1. Then once he had made that blueprint, then he started creating angels, mm-hmm. and then he created the earth and the planet to whereby he's going to test his angels. And now they have to be tested because he's not going to give everybody something on a silver platter. And now these angels and Jude were tested first, and then these morning stars were tested, and all the while God was moving the program ahead to where we are today. And then you know the story, and these angels and Jude fell, and then Lucifer fell, and all he was doing, he was testing these angels, see if they're going to be qualified to be assistant. And throughout the grace age, be able to assist mankind throughout the grace age. Now these angels, the ministering spirit, sent forth to them that have heirs of salvation. But it's only the angels that pass that test that qualify to be these assistants. The demons, they're there to the angels that failed, they are there to hinder us, you know. The Lord left them here to test us. Now we're going to have enough faith and trust these angels that are ministering spirits. I feel them from time to time, how they're telling you, don't go there, do this, don't go this way. And these are these ministering spirits because they've been tested and they qualify to lead us into paths of righteousness and to do what's right. And that's their job. But it just keeps evolving, like I say. Then Adam and Eve came on the scene and they were tested. Now we're all being tested. Like I keep saying over and over again, we're living in a laboratory. God is keep testing us. Yeah, I could wipe the devil out and get him away, but then you wouldn't have to have nothing to test us with. So we're being tested, and here we are in the closing days of time, and all God is asking for people, just believe what Samuel Lorena said. We had to believe what Brother Branham said, but he goes off the scene. Then it evolved into the minister, Brother Jex. We believe what he said, but now he goes off the scene. And like we keep saying over and over again, we were being tested to see if God's going to qualify us, who is then that faithful and wise servant to do exactly what you and I are doing here. To me, to you and I, it's a very simple program. It's just continuing on where the Lord left, what the Lord is doing, how he's evolving. That's why we can say the words that we say, they're spirit and they're life. And like I say, they're not going to be very attractive. Like I say, when you're born in that Hadarat thing, it's not the real thing. It's Satan's copycat. It's Satan's counterfeit that We'll look at their program. I think you get up to a certain age and you get baptized, but it's all Satan's substitute. It's not of God. If it's not of God, it's of the devil. The only thing that God requires, back when you come to the age of accountability, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict you, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, you have a desire to get right with the Lord. That's exactly what you and I did. We had this thing in our heart that the Lord was leading and guiding us. Many times we didn't know what it's about. But then he led us to the ministry of Brother Branham, and when I heard water baptism in Jesus' name, I took a beeline and got baptized, like it says in Acts verse 2:38. And we just carried on. We're just carrying on. From the only thing we know to do is to carry on with the Word. And to this day, that's all we're doing. We're just carrying on. We just happen to be these two people that the Lord found faithful and wise to deliver meat in due season and to say and to roll out that living water for that invitation to minister up of the land. We can't speak nothing else. The only thing we can speak is we can only speak the truth. The way the Lord allows us to see it. And now here we are in these closing days of time. We know the rapture's up the road here because we're in that season of the rapture. It can't come no other way. That's why that Pope is, the timing is perfect. That Pope is on the, is dead. Now they're bringing in another Pope, and that Pope, knowing where we are in time, he will be that man of sin. And then the program just moves ahead. And then it just continues on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God never stops. That's why when you don't move with Him, you just stay in that place where you stopped. Because, mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened to the Jews. They stopped and they were still back in 33 AD. They didn't stop. They didn't move ahead with the grace age. And when you go there, you'll still see people living back in that hour. And then people, that's why I always say, like, these people don't realize that we're going into a different era. This is the period of the restoration of Israel, and after that period, it's going into the millennium age. And these people preaching in the pulpit and baptism and baptizing, well, that era is over. That's done. It's totally, we're entering into a different era. And a lot of people get stuck in an era and they can't move on. And they miss out on what the blessings that God can pour out when you walk with Him.
See, back after the crucifixion, there was a lot of turmoil back then, especially when mm-hmm. Paul came in with his new teaching and all that.
Oh, yeah.
These disciples, they got persecuted big time because the Jew, he didn't want to transition from that law age into the grace age. He just found it very hard to turn that corner. And it's the same thing today. I don't blame the Lord that, I don't blame people that they don't hear us because we're in that transition. And then people don't readily accept turning the corner or something new comes along. We just haven't, be soft before the Lord, that He can take us and He can show us these things, and we have no problem moving along with what the Lord is doing. Mm-hmm. Like I say, water baptism is over. It's over October the 15, 2021. That season and that era, the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. The grace age is over. The week of Daniel, the restoration of Israel began. And it's just that simple. It's time, just like it was back when Jesus said it's finished. That was it for the law age. And then it developed into the grace age. And now that is done. Now it developed into that invitation to the master of the land. And those people that don't accept it, they, like I said, they're going to have to go and blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. It's going to go exactly the way the Word of God says it will. And we just happen to tap into that program that God has. And that's why I say, the words that we speak, their life and their spirit. This thing out there they call church, it's not real. It's of the devil, because he has now infiltrated everything, every aspect of society, and he'd like to infiltrate that. When you go back and listen to what happened, and you take inventory of what happened ever since the Lord put us together, how Satan would send in his deceivers, you know, with that Jeremy, and that Randy, and that John, and how these came in sleaze bags, just in a sleazy way, and the devil used them. They didn't even know the devil is using them. But it was to destroy, just a little circle here, just destroy what we're doing. And if he can succeed in dividing us, well, he's got us crippled, you know. I could never do what we're doing here by myself. It won't work. And that's what the devil has been zeroing in on. Using your family, using my family, using these so-called people that come in here and to do one thing. Satan is right on them to try to destroy what we're doing here. But we're on to them. Like, we're sober, we're vigilant, and we're up to their tricks, because the Lord will sometimes give us a dream of what that guy's about, like he did with that friend. He gave you a dream, and then he gave me a dream to show what he's about. He's not real. He's got some issues that in his life. And then when that Jeremy came around, he let you know that he's got some issues. And he let me know, don't get involved in his finances. Yeah, sure, we try to help. The Lord gave me that spirit. Pulled him out of the fire, even hating the very garment that they're contaminated with. And that's what we did. And lo and behold, as soon as we try to help him, the devil uses him to try to destroy us. So we're in the ball. Like, we're sober, we're vigilant, and that's the only reason that we were able to detect what these cowboys are up to. And then here, to this very day, we don't have much to see. We're just following along what the Lord puts on our hearts every day. And any one of us to get up in the morning to pray, and then to have some song, and then to have a conversation. That's what we're doing. We have nothing more to do. We can't go out and convert the town when the town doesn't want to be converted. I know the very first thing when the Lord saved me, I could save the world now. And then I couldn't even, I tried to save my family, and end of the day, they wanted to take me to the mental home because I was a little bit different, kind of an oddball. That's what they do. We be not born out of fornication. When they couldn't get nothing on Jesus, he's got the devil. Things like that. And it's just the same thing. But see, you and I, we've been in the Bible all our life. We know these tactics of the devil. We're not ignorant like the early church, the early apostles. They were not ignorant of Satan's tactics. And that's the same thing here. We're just on to them. And we know exactly what that church thing out there is. It is now evolved in exactly what the Bible says it is. And we know you can trust what we're saying, because it'll take you. If you can only get yourself to a place where you believe it, God will make a way that you'll be in that marriage cup of the Lamb. Get out of this hell that's coming. That's kind of like I'm trying to say. It's the words that we speak, their life and their spirit. You won't find nobody will tell you what we're telling you. Just that simple. Heavenly Father, just once again give you thanks for another opportunity to come together, sit with you in heavenly place, Lord, have a conversation about the things that's happening in the hour and time we're now living in. A very critical hour, Lord, and we just pray for grace to continue on this journey and do whatever you want us to do and say whatever you want us to say, Lord. We just pray to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.